A minor, so Green Sleeves next.
Yeah.
And then First Noel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. And welcome to St. James Westminster on this beautiful and holy night. I am so glad that you are with us. We'll extinguish our candles in a little moment, but throughout the Advent season, we've been lighting the Advent wreath before us. And so I'd invite you to be seated while we do that now. From the Christ who was and is and shall be, grace and peace be with you. God with us, love shine, your moment has come. In the dark of the womb, you waited. Bathed in balm of the star, you rested. Into a world sorely in need of your light, you are born. When you knock on the door looking for room, may we welcome you. Like the herald of your birth, call us to share your good news, first with those who are poor, excluded, and afraid.
The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not lit it.
The lover of heaven has come to earth. The call of Christ begins with a baby's cry.
We light up Christ's candle, may it light the way.
Let us pray. Eternal God, this holy night is radiant with the brilliance of your one true light. As we have known the revelation of that light on earth, bring us to see the splendor of your heavenly glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. The congregation, please extinguish their candles and be seated for the first reading of Holy Scripture.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to Titus. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy, through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This Spirit he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. The Lord be with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I'm going to let you in on a little secret about me. I'm a bit of a church nerd. Got a few chuckles. That's good. Shouldn't come as a huge surprise. I love the church calendar. I love the fact that the colors of the vestments that we wear change depending on the season that we're in. I love the fact that you can pick out the date of Easter because it's the first Sunday after the first full moon after the spring equinox. I love that kind of nitty-gritty detail. And so Christmas Eve is a service that I love, but I have to tell you, it's a little bit weird. It's kind of like the Super Bowl of Sundays, because you've got a lot of new people coming in. You've seen faces that you only see a few times a year, family visiting from afar, and it's the one to bring out your A game. This is where we light candles. This is where we sing our favorite songs. This is where we give it our all for the glory to Jesus. And so that's a fair amount of pressure to put on the shoulders of a preacher. And I tell you, throughout this evening, I've been texting with some of my friends the service attendance numbers. So far, St. James is winning, but we'll see how they do for the rest of the night. There is a bit of a competition. There's a bit of a sense of joy that comes with a night like this. And you want to give it your best. Now, this isn't my first year being a priest. I've been a priest for about 12 or 13 years now. And I often listen to some of my friends, colleagues, and rivals' sermons to see how they're doing and what's the good thing to preach. I'm not sure I found the good thing, but I have a list of 10 sermons that no one ever wants to hear. I'm going to read those to you now. The first sermon that you really don't want to hear on Christmas Eve is the Come to Church sermon. This is where the priest tells the visitors that because Jesus was born in a manger, they should try out this church on some other day of the year because Jesus did cool things too, other than just being born. They try to say that churches might not be the coolest places, but this is a pretty cool place, so you should come here and check it out. Nobody really needs to hear that sermon. The second sermon is kind of like that one, and that's for the children of the regular attenders. And it's what's called the Come Back to Church, Please sermon. And this is where you extol those that grew up in the church, were baptized here and have gone off and are living their lives, that maybe they should come back and be on that committee to join something. And that kind of leaves people with the sense that maybe they got signed up for something that they never quite agreed to. Nobody really wants to hear that sermon tonight either. Now, priests that have preached those two sermons on Christmas Eve for a little while usually wind up with the third sermon that nobody wants to hear, and that's the Why Are You Here sermon. It comes out of a bit of desperation, a bit of frustration at seeing tons of people on Christmas Eve and then few people the Sunday after. It comes out of a passion for what's going on, but also a frustration at the reality of the situations that we find ourselves in. The fourth sermon that absolutely no one wants to hear is the Jesus is the reason for the season and not Santa Claus. Jesus is actually Santa Claus's boss. So the people that have their presents under the tree that say from Santa start to squirm at that sermon and go, maybe I should have written from Jesus rather than from Santa. Nobody needs to squirm on a church service like tonight. Another one of the sermons that I've heard that I promise I won't preach tonight is, this God stuff all sounds a little bit ridiculous, but you can believe it because we love each other. This is a little bit esoteric. The priest talks about virgin births and angels, magi following the stars, and it all sounds a little bit fantastical and skeptical at the same time. But the priest assures you that it's okay because the rest of us believe this crazy stuff, so you should too. No one wants to hear that sermon. There's another sermon called the Magic of Christmas sermon, in which the priest stands up here and tells a story about grandma knitting in the corner or the Charlie Brown Christmas tree one year. And somehow Jesus is lost in the middle of that. Nobody needs to hear that sermon either. There's also a sermon called the Chicken Soup for the Soul sermon. And that's where the priest stands up here and tells the story of the gospel from a different point of view. Maybe the donkey, maybe the innkeeper's wife, maybe a tree, who knows? Nobody knows. It's not that useful. Another sermon that I've heard on nights like tonight is the theological sermon. These are long and tedious and use words like eschatology and incarnation and missio dei. And the hardest part of those sermons is staying awake through them, because no one needs a theological diatribe on a night like tonight. And the last sermon that you do not need to hear is "Please believe in Jesus because my job depends on it" sermon. Believe it or not, I've heard that one once or twice. So there's a lot of things not to do tonight. So the question is, what to preach on tonight? Well, it's simple. This service, we are giving our very best. With the beauty of candlelight, the familiar hymns, we're lifting our hearts up in an act of praise. Because we tell tonight a story, a simple story that so many of you have heard so many times. But this story is over 2,000 years old. This story has changed the world. This story means something. And the fact about that is undeniable. Look where we are. Look what we're doing. We wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for the story of Jesus. Tonight, this service is about giving our best, lifting our hope up, and trusting that God is doing something in this world around us. Fox News, CBC, CNN paint a picture of a world that is bleak and scary and unrecognizable. But for 2,000 years, Christians have held up the candle of hope, a tiny light in insurmountable darkness that has not gone out. It has weathered plague and war, pestilence and famine, and through thousands of years of history and trial and pain and suffering. Year after year, Christians gather on a night like tonight to hear a story that kindles hope. Hope against the darkness. Hope in a world that seems to have lost it. Hope that God can and is doing something amazing in the world around you. Now, the perfect sermon for Christmas Eve would be tailored perfectly to the individual who hears it. And I can't do that for the 60 or 70 people here tonight, for each and every one of you. But I invite you to listen with that interior heart. Listen to where joy is found tonight in this service for you, and follow it. Follow it, maybe back through these doors some Sunday, maybe not, it doesn't matter. But follow the hope that God is stirring up in your heart. Because the promise, the truth that we know, is that God is not done with this world. God is not done with us. That this night shines with the radiance of hope against all the darkness in the world around us. That Christmas is a call to us to be faithful in the midst of it all, and to trust that God is doing amazing things and will do amazing things. Tonight is a night to hear again the story that has changed the world. Maybe to be changed by that story ourselves. Amen. I'd invite the congregation to stand, please. Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will I would invite the congregation to adopt a position of prayer for the prayers of the people.
God of grace, your kingdom draw near to us in your Son. Increase in your church trust in the fulfillment of your promises. Fill our hearts with the joy of your good news announced to us. God of grace, we behold your glory. Wonderful counselor, your glory bursts through the heavens to amaze the shepherds with news of your birth. Bring us to kneel in adoration and worship. May your church proclaim your salvation from day to day. God of grace, we behold your glory. Mighty God, you judge with equity, and your power stoops to touch our humanity. Inspire the rulers of the nations with this humility and concern for everyone. Bring harmony and dignity to all peoples. God of grace, we behold your glory. Everlasting Father, your name is exalted in all generations. Bring the sounds of rejoicing and laughter to our homes. Wrap your children in tenderness and love. God of grace, we behold your glory. Prince of peace, in your freedom we thrive and flourish. Be with all whose hearts are troubled or distressed. We think especially of Sylvia, Robert, Gavin, Catherine, Brian, Trevor, Sherry, Stavros, Reed, Marilyn, Elizabeth, David, Stan, Kate, Bonnie, and Joan, Kevin, Lupe, and family, Karen and Grace, Dawn and Nancy. God of grace, we behold your glory. Holy Father, bless us with your godly hope. To us a child is born, and he brings redemption for all who trust in him. Hear our prayer for all who rest in your peace. May your light dawn upon us with joy. God of grace, we behold your glory. Amen.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you, God,
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand. After his death and resurrection, our Lord Jesus Christ appeared to his disciples, and he said to them, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Let us share Christ's peace with one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you."
And also with you.
Thank you. Let us pray. Source of light and gladness, accept all we offer you on this joyful feast. May we grow up in him who unites our lives to yours. For he is Lord, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth. We give you thanks and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, who in the mystery of his incarnation was made perfect man of the flesh of the Virgin Mary, his mother. In him we have seen a new and radiant vision of your glory. Therefore, with all the angels of heaven, we lift our voices and sing our joyful hymn of praise to proclaim the glory of your name. Give thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation. In calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may become the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By whom, and with whom, and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, we break the bread of life, and that life is the light of the world.
God,
these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Invited to come forward for communion. If you have trouble with the stairs or the line's too long, there is going to be a communion station at the Murray altar. So I'd invite the choir to come up for communion first. Let us pray. Father of all, tonight you have united earth and heaven in sending your Son to take our human nature. May we, who have tasted heavenly things, share in the life of his eternal kingdom. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we say together, glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. And may the God of infinite goodness scatter the darkness of sin and brighten your hearts with holiness. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you, among you, and remain with you always. Amen. Our joyful service of worship has come to its close, but our service to each other and to God's world begins renewed and refreshed. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
rest its life.